What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. It's the news, according to me. It's going on. That's what it's doing. Yeah. Hey, it is Thursday, April 2nd. It's no longer April Fool's Day. Yesterday's show was a live April Fool's Day. We have Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. It is 8:46 a.m. It's actually not terribly late, but it's a little later than I wanted to be. Gotta get out the door and get a breakfast in. Get all that done because... Yeah, some appointments. Gonna make some things happen here this morning. So anyway, we have an interesting show for you this morning. In my cup, this isn't live, by the way, in case you're wondering. And if you've ever listened, if you listened to yesterday's show, you didn't listen to it live either. It was a live show, but nobody listened to it. There was nobody ever came in the chat room, which is very bizarre. Yesterday. Once in a while, I get these. Something's got to be happening with. I had 10 times more listeners yesterday to the show. Just 10 times. This happens once every couple times a month, typically. I think it has to do with like Spotify records or something that come through that they just show. Something is happening on another platform somewhere and they dump their records. They don't give a daily dump of the records or something. I don't know what's going on with that, but it's just weird. All of a sudden I'll see the chart will spike way up and it's way up there. And then it comes back to kind of a normal level after that. So apparently there's people out there. Well, there's gotta be people out there listening because it's showing, unless people are using VPNs, which is I didn't think about that. Some of these weird locations, maybe people are using VPNs to get to be able to listen to, which it's kind of odd because, like China, I don't know why someone would use a VPN in China. I don't think China would even allow you to. It's a good question. How would somebody in China listen to this thing? It's got to be at least an English speaking person, or the Chinese government possibly could be listening into all of my top secret information that I have here. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm certainly not. Being tapped on the shoulder by any high-level government people to know what to ask my opinion about anything. But so if you're here, however, there was I do get some political stuff once in a while. And there was this Arlington, Virginia thing where somebody was listening to me quite a bit there for a while. I don't know that they are anymore. I'm not even sure if Arlington, Virginia is even on my. Well, we can just look. There's a chart right here. I can look at it. Geographic statistics is what they call it. Top cities. Let's see if Arlington is even in here anymore. It's not there. It's not even the top. What is that? The top 20? I don't think. London, England is actually number 3. Sayville, New York. It's the top. That's the number 1 city. Welcome aboard, Sayville. Don't think I've ever been there. I'm not sure where that's at. It must be a little burb somewhere. Maybe it's upstate. We have Guangdong. Yeah, that's China. Guangdong Zhongzhou. That is China. It's 26 people there in that town. Or 26 listens from that town. It could be one person listening 26 times. That's pretty high for. Anyway, here's a Virginia. That's actually, Ashburn's pretty close to, I think that might be close to Arlington. I'm not sure. It's in that area, that general vicinity. I don't see Arlington in here anymore. That was in here before. I don't see it now. Interesting for the cities, as far as the cities go, but not a lot on the West Coast. There's Sussex, New South Wales. Yeah, that's Sydney. That's in there. To all the top 20 cities, which are the larger cities, typically it is because there's just more chance of that happening. But as far as countries go, See what we got here. It's all the way down in New Zealand. It's top 20. Let's see if there's anything unusual here. Oh, there's just some unusual stuff. Yeah, what is that? Oh, it's Finland. Yeah. UK, Germany, Italy, France, Portugal. Oh, South Africa is still on the scene. And Brazil, of course. Yeah, that's interesting. Hola, I guess, would be that como estás? Portugal. I'm not sure exactly I don't know how to speak Portuguese. But hi there. Hello. Bonvenido. I don't know what else to say about that. Buenos dias. Most European countries, it's interesting. They all speak multiple languages typically, or at least, you know, can muddle through them. This country is English and sometimes Spanish. Mostly it's, if people are bilingual, it's usually Spanish. Some German, Pennsylvania Dutch, the Amish. And of course, then there's, you know, they've got pockets of people. There's people here that speak other languages, and just in general. Those are the two main languages, I think. We have, anyway, yeah, so that's what we got going on here. In my cup, I have that's pretty good. Still a little bit warm. Still slightly warm. Chai with coconut. It's almond joy creamer. Hey, my backup cup, which is it's good for this morning. It's just about right. It's just about perfect now. I almost made a cup of iced chai this morning instead of hot chai. But it's supposed to get warmer today. It's about 40 degrees outside right now. It's supposed to get up to, I think it's supposed to get pretty warm today. Yesterday, I think the high was 40 degrees. It's just been 70 degrees, 80 degrees, and then all of a sudden 40 degrees for the highs, which is ridiculous. I woke up this morning, I got to let the dogs out. It was like 40 degrees outside. I think it's probably warmed up since then. In fact, right now, the current temperature, I think, is 41 degrees. It's come up a whole degree, which is just, you know, now it's a heat wave. We have, hopefully, this intense rainy kind of soupy kind of. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Siri, for telling me. Siri just said it's 43 degrees outside. It's weird. So we have, I didn't even ask. I didn't even ask. And she just said it. I'm tired of that. It's listening to everything I say. So are you. You're listening to everything I say. Or you better be. Pay attention. Just take your ears off the road there for a second. Listen to what I'm saying. I have my backup cup. I have sweet tea with peaches in it. I don't have peaches in the tea itself in my cup, but I have peaches in the tea pitcher where the tea is, which makes it sweet peach. That almost went down the wrong pipe right there. You almost witnessed a choking event right here. Live, well, recorded in real time. I have a few things to get into. We got some video. I'm going to try to props out to what is this
in a remote
props out to that wasn't supposed to play right there. Liberal hive mind. I have much of my show prep today was from Liberal Hive Mind. I've got a bunch of videos from one of his recent videos yesterday. Playing some of that stuff. And just going to talk a little bit about Iran and what's happening there and what's actually happening, what you're hearing, what Iran is saying and what some other people are saying. And we're going to get into that whole thing. I got some video audio of the video. This is the video section, part of the audio. I'm going to play the video, but it comes along with audio, and that's what you're going to get to hear. I get to watch the video. You don't get to watch that because you're over there. I'm over here on the other side of the wire. We have those things coming up, and we should be able to get on with it in here. We're just going to go ahead and just going to take this little brief intermission while you listen to this happy little fun song to get to start your day.
It's the news. It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. It's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news. It's the news.
It's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
Ooh.
According to me.
Yeah.
That's what that is. That's the news. Right there. That's the thing. We're going to get right into this. There's some video circulating around about some things that are happening over in Iran right now. The military is absolutely devastated over there. These are things that have been, these are videos that actually have been smuggled out, I guess, or whatever, snuck out of Iran and verified as being real. They're not just crazy, wacky stuff. And of course, they're showing some other things that have gotten out that the government is doing. Now, the government there is very weird. It's a very strange situation. You have the formal government itself. There's a president. I would say a shell of a government that's not real. And then you have the mullahs? I think they're called the mullahs. I'm pretty sure. Maybe we can ask one of the AI callers when they call in. We'll see what happens with that. Apparently the mullahs are the Muslim leadership, the radical Islam folks over there are running things by fear. It's what basically it's kind of like almost like a Taliban kind of situation. The government's kind of a paper tiger. It doesn't really do much of anything. It kind of just does whatever the Islamic radical folks leadership wants them, you know, allows them to do, like the Khomeini or whatever his name is, the Ayatollah over there. My understanding is the Ayatollah's gone. So there's this, got kind of this two-part weird leadership thing going on over there, this membership thing. They've got. It's weird. It's just a weird situation. And that's why it's kind of difficult to understand who's in charge, really, because officially the president or the parliament or whatever they have over there has to give permission or actually has to pass down orders to the military. However, they are the puppets of the radical Islamic leaders there, which my understanding is they've kind of been decimated. The military itself is running scared. They are in a very bad situation. I'm sure there are some forces in some locations. It's a large country. Geographically, it's large, fairly large. So it's got some pockets, I'm sure, of some military. But for the most part, I think their military right now is just in fear of their life. The government's in fear of their life. They're running scared like crazy. But they don't know what's going to happen next. Some things that they thought were impenetrable and were a show of their power and their might are the first things that went. First things that were taken out, and it's kind of this Hail Mary thing that's happening with them right now, where they're just kind of trying to do things. And of course, the lies go on and on and on. I've used it all the time. This example that they say they captured 173 Delta Force. Delta Force operators. Yeah, we're supposed to take that seriously. They are humans. They could be captured, but 173, I don't think so. What world does that happen? They just lie through their teeth. And yet John Brennan, I'm going to play a clip of John Brennan saying what he says about, you know, whether he trusts our president or he trusts Iran. He trusts Iran more than he trusts our president to telling the truth. So it's just one of those weird things. Very bizarre. In the meantime, let's see what's on the, see who's calling here today. Let's go see who's going to call in. I think our normal caller, this is kind of the one that's kind of normal. So we'll see what he has to say today. Go ahead, caller. You're on the
Hey
line.
There, and a hi-dee-ho to you.
Yeah, hello.
Thunder Thursday. Hey, what's rumbling out there in the big storm of life?
Well,
I'm just calling to ask about what you think is shaping up for the midterms.
Oh,
the elections
yeah.
this fall,
yeah. Oh,
just
yeah.
in case
oh.
you didn't know what I was referring to.
Oh, yeah, the midterms.
Do you think
yeah,
the GOP has a chance to pull this off, or are the Dems going to win in a landslide?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of an off-the-wall question. It's a good question, though. Here's the thing. This whole thing with Iran is kind of at the pivotal point of this whole thing. Because we have a, that's what's causing the prices of gas to be high. That's what's causing, you know, costs in general to go high. Now, if everything else was high and the gas prices were high, you would see people really complaining about this a lot more than they are. The gas, you know, gas prices are higher and stuff's not cheap yet. As soon as this is over with, as soon as this gets settled and done, especially if some of the things that happen, I'm going to be playing some video here in a little bit about some of this stuff, but if things happen the way they seem to be unfolding and what the plan is, you're going to see the price of oil drop drastically and dramatically, not unmarketably. If oil goes too cheap, there is a problem. That becomes a problem because there's all kinds of other issues that causes. It can go down. It can drop significantly. It can go down to, you know, $75, $80 a barrel, and then it can slowly, gradually go down from there. And it's going to be a deflationary kind of situation where the economy actually improves as the oil goes down. If it drops too drastically, too quickly, that's a problem. That's a sign that there's health issues with economically in the world. However, so that's kind of where we're at with this whole thing. We've got, and keep in mind, unfortunately, this nation has a memory of a goldfish. I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but it's what happens within 2 weeks of the election or 3 weeks. Or now it's, of course, there's a whole month season of election. Apparently, all of October is the election. And the reason they want to do that is because that way there's no October surprises, you know, stuff. So, but they start doing this early voting thing. However, here's my point is, if things are straightened back up and gas prices are down by September, everyone will be ready to move on and vote out the Democrats or keep the Democrats out. Normally the normal cycle is that they would win. The Democrats would win. I don't know if the GOP can pull this off. There's still a lot of rhinos in the GOP, and this is a problem. And they're fighting against Trump. They don't want to see Trump win. They would rather see the Dems take over. Now, the problem is, if the Dems take over, their number one thing they're going to do is they're going to impeach Trump again. That's they're going to do that right away. If they get the House and the Senate, they will impeach him and they will convict him. Of what, I don't know. I think that this is political suicide, in my opinion, in their part. Now, hopefully, the Republican, the MAGA crowd, the nation will see what's going on here, and they will step up and start voting in this midterm. The typical idea is people kind of, well, they won the presidency, so they kind of sit back during the. This is what normally happens is it's the motivation. People think that they're in charge, and they won the House and the Senate and the presidency, and they just kind of sit back on their laurels, and they don't care. They got their president in, so they think of him as a king. And that's no, I'm not trying to match that up with the whole no kings thing, but people do tend to think that if they got the presidency, that the president is some kind of all-powerful person, has a lot of authority, don't get me wrong. But really, Congress is really what runs the country. They hold the purse strings, they do other things. And the president really has an executive position within the executive branch, so it's a supposed to be equal powers thing, and that people don't think of it that way. And so when they get into the midterms, they don't think about the House being that important. So they think, well, we got the presidency, and it doesn't matter. Well, then the problem is you've got a very vicious, adversary. Congress, if the Democrats get in, they're not just going to change things for the country. They're going to go after President Trump. They're going to go after a political enemy. They have a political agenda to take him out, and that's what they're going to try to do, which is different than normal. Normally, they just want to win so that they can get their policies in place. They don't. This isn't about policy. This is everything about the Democrats right now. Their whole identity is all about Trump, you know, orange man, bad kind of thing, you know, get Trump kind of thing. So that's what it's all about. And unfortunately, that is the key point here that the Democrats are after. And I think it's a losing, I think it's losing momentum. You know, they've done this for so long. All we've heard is, you know, anti-Trump for 15 years, and you still have Hollywood out there still saying things. And you go, we got to get him out. He's going to stay in there forever. Let me just say this. I don't think his health is that good. He's still mentally capable. He's got good people around him. I don't think he's going to last much longer. And once he gets out of office, and even if he, okay, let's say he, for some reason they're right, and he's going to take over and he's going to stay in office. Do you really think another three years, he's going to be able to go another four? Folks, I'm hoping he makes it through the next three. He's an elderly man. And it, you know, things happen to age. It just has its, you know, takes its toll. He's lived a very tough life, actually. He's had the most posh things around him, but he's been through a lot, which is why, you know, you don't have the thick skin that he has. You can't get that just by living around cush life all your life. He has had some adverse situations in his life. He's gone through a lot. You just don't develop that kind of character from just, you know, sitting around being catered to and living a posh life. And I think that's what the one thing that I think is missing from the equation here that we don't talk about enough is, you know, why is Donald Trump the way he is? Why is he so resilient? Why is he able to just let this stuff roll off his back? There's something about that kind of character that I think we have to recognize that you're not just born with that. That's developed through life circumstances and going through life and being able to weather the storm and being able to get things done, having the tenacity to do things, regardless of whether you like the person or not. And that's where we're at with this guy. I think that having said all that, I think that there's a very good chance that the Democrats might lose because they're just too far radical off to the side. And I think that there's a lot of people in the mainstream Democrats that are like Nancy Pelosi and some of the others are starting to recognize that issue. It's like Hassan Piker or whatever the guy's name is, Cenk Uygur's nephew or whatever it is. He recently went to Cuba. He's saying a lot of things, and they're trying to disassociate themselves from him now. But, What do you think about some of those things, Artie? Go ahead.
Well, actually, I think you make some interesting points there.
Of course I do.
Technically speaking, the Democrats do seem quite focused on opposing Trump rather than advancing their own policy agenda. And you raise a fair point about Trump's resilience and life experiences.
Uh-huh.
That kind of thick skin doesn't just come from a pampered upbringing.
I already said that. Yeah,
I would caution against making assumptions about his health or longevity in office. Those are quite speculative matters.
Well, they are.
In any case, I agree the midterms will be crucial, and the Democrats' radical shift could cost them some moderate voters. It'll be intriguing to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing about being speculative, that's just a part of life. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, and the older we get, the more the risk factors go up for certain diseases and everything else. So that's not speculation. That's science. There, Artie. That's science. Got to keep that in mind. However, so that's kind of where we're at with that. But I think a lot of it hinges on how quickly they can get this wrapped up. Now, I think, again, it will play into the midterms. And there are some people who don't like. But Republicans are kind of compartmentalize things. So there might be certain things they don't like about his policies. Maybe there's Republicans out there that don't like the fact that we're getting into this kinetic situation with Iran. But at the same time, they can compartmentalize that. And if other things are working well, they see that for what it is. They can see the issues as individual issues and not just, it's kind of like I put, you know, Trump, his personality and his crashness, his thing, the things that he does, the way he talks to people. And I put that in one box. And then I put his policies in, you know, in separate boxes. There's just, there's just, you can compartmentalize those things, whereas some people don't do that. They just get emotionally involved in the whole ball of wax. They don't like one thing. They say, oh, well, he said that. He's a terrible person and everything about that. That's the whole thing. And it's, I brought this up, and I know this is a very touchy subject. It's very difficult to do because when you think of Hitler, you think of Hitler as being this completely evil individual who has just oozes out and, you know, just seething evil all the time. There were probably people around him who thought he was a great guy. He was probably nice to some people. He would probably pet a dog. I think he did have a pet dog. Just, you have to realize there is a human factor here. And while a person can be very, very evil in some ways and do some very evil things, there is probably something that they do that's not, that you'd think if they could be your neighbor and you wouldn't think that much about it. It's just, what I'm getting at is you have to take the whole, you know, the whole as the whole, and not, there are going to be some things that you could say, well, he kept his lawn nice and, you know, mowed, he wasn't a bad neighbor, you know, whatever. It's just, there are those things about a person that you, what you call someone Hitler, and everything about them now is terrible and evil. And yet someone who beats their kids or someone who abuses the people around them, they aren't Hitler, but they're, you know, and yet you would think of Hitler as being a more evil person than that. I don't know. Just because there's this canonization of a person that it goes in. And now the left has done this to themselves. They for so long have vilified Trump for so long that nothing he can do and nothing he says, nothing, everything about him, they just hate him. And that's just what it's going to be. And they're deranged. It does become a delirious mental disease that they have. That affects everything that the way they think. They can't get past it, and it's a problem. And it's they really need to seek help. I really need to get that Michael Jordan thing up here with get some help thing. The that needs to be on my cart. I could just say,
"What's wrong with you people?"
That's probably about enough. Anyway, so So there we go. The question here. I've got this stuff here. I got to play this stuff because it's pretty good. Getting back to this whole Iranian thing. This is a leaked video from a soldier, Iranian soldier, and they're ready to just surrender. They've been decimated, and Trump has said it. They realize it, and it's. The Iranians are trying to. Well, you saw what happened when we went into Iraq, and right across the street from there's U.S. troops walking around downtown Iraq, Baghdad, and this what they call him their PR guy was standing there talking to a CNN reporter saying, "Oh no, the Americans aren't here. They're not. We're still, you know, we're still." Fighting, and we're still in this thing, and we're winning, and the Americans aren't here. The invasion is all a lie. In the meantime, there's all these U.S. troops walking around. There's this one U.S. commander being interviewed, and he's looking across the street, and he says, "I'm gonna walk over and have a chat with that guy." I'll never forget that. He's just like, "Well, I'll be talking to him real soon here. As soon as I get done with you here, I'm gonna go over and talk with him." It's like what. That was epic. That was pretty good. So here we are. Anyway, let's play this. It's pretty interesting. I'll try to clip out. He's just play some short clips here, and I'll try to keep the liberal hive mind moderator out of most of this.
Someone has fled. Even the governor. They left and went. I look around me. No one was left here. We really don't know what to do. No news. No orders. They said to wait. Wait for what? There's nothing here for us. My heart is pounding so hard. I can feel it for myself. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. It might be better to surrender, however it happens, before we lose whatever we still have. Say that we no longer have any hope of continuing the war. Surrendering is the best solution.
You gotta.
So that's he's basically saying surrender is the best solution. They're left with this weird situation where they have there's just no. The commanders are gone. The governor's gone. Everybody's taken off. They're not sure what's happening. Very, very strange. And so they're just left devastated. Now, there's some pictures here. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure what the audio is here. I think. Yeah, this is okay. There's no a picture of this. What it looks like, the picture that they're showing is this. They got these tables. They're all sitting around. These Iranian leaders are all sitting around this. Of course, they have a picture right next to them. They have a flag up, and then right next to them, they have a picture of the Ayatollahs there. There's three of them. Because they have to pay homage to them. They have to pay, they have to honor them there at the meeting. They have these tables that are covered in white linens. And of course, I'm sure they're just folding tables or plywood or whatever they are. They don't even look like tables. They just look like they're sheets across a. They got bottles of water and tissues and some paper. It doesn't even look like those tables. That's weird. And they got some little draperies, some decorative stuff there around there. And then it's got this floor, this rug on the floor. And in the background, it's this looks like a blue room. But then they show a picture. of this thing. And it's backed out. They're actually down inside of a pool. They're down inside of a huge pool. And the pool itself is underground. When you zoom out of this picture of this meeting that they're having, it looks like they're having this in a room somewhere. And it's not a room. It's down inside of a pool. So it's like a bunker because they're so scared of at any minute just being vaporized. Apparently the president has spoken to Trump and the president of Iran, the puppet president that they have over there. They're within weeks of everything just totally collapsing. The IRGC, which is the that's the military leadership there. That's kind of another faction in and of itself. There, it's kind of its own thing. Military leadership is a little bit of its own because it's got a lot of power there. So it kind of plays between the mullahs, between the Islamic radicals and the elected officials. So that's a whole different set of kind of governance there as well. So there's this kind of this trilateral thing happening there. They all have to kind of get along with each other. There's a whole lot of things going on there as well. So they have a lot of disagreements with both sides of this whole thing. All they're doing is seeing their military friends and family get, devastated. So it's been kind of an interesting situation. All right, I want to go back here. This is
he could not acknowledge the truth even when
this
is
any day.
Well, I tend to believe Iran more than I do Donald
That's
Trump
crazy.
Because
this is John Brennan.
He could not acknowledge the truth even when it is he's slapped in the face with it repeatedly.
But I don't live in
that's John Brennan there. I tend to believe for the Iran but more than I do the president because he can't accept the truth when it's slapped in the face with it repeatedly. This is John Brennan. A man who has lied to the American people more than probably almost as much as Adam Schiff. This is a guy who thinks he's so intelligent. And here he is sitting on a panel, The Weeknight, which I think is a CNN, is it CNN or MSNBC or MS Now or whatever they're calling it now. He's so intelligent. He's so smart. He's so much smarter than the average person in the room. And he thinks he can influence everybody. And what he says is such an influential thing. And consequential. Now here's Rubio saying some things quite interesting, I would say.
It was very disappointing. You have this, and again, look, the president and our country will have to re-examine all of this after this operation is over. But one of the reasons why NATO is beneficial to the United States is it gives us basing rights for contingencies. It allows us to station troops and aircraft and weapons in parts of the world that we would normally have bases. And that includes in much of Europe. And to see that in a time of need, the United States has identified a grave risk to our national security and our national interests, and we needed to conduct this operation. And we have countries like Spain, a NATO member that we are pledged to defend, denying us the use of their airspace and bragging about it.
Yeah, that's one of the things it's kind of an issue that I think is has been kind of lost on much of this. Now, Bessett also has some comments to say. I want to have him chime in here. He says some things about the Straits of Hormuz.
Going to retake control of the Straits, and there will be freedom of navigation, whether it is through U.S. escorts or a multinational escort.
And as that is huge. If the U.S. is going to take over the Straits, Hormuz, this is a big deal. If that happens, that is a pinch point in this world that is unlike anything else. And now the United Arab Emirates, now just the fact that they've been able to take over, that the Iranians have even been able to maintain any kind of control there, is pretty amazing, considering that the part of the issue is it would cause a lot of devastation if we went in there and started just taking over that area because of the nature of it all and the way they've set up protections and just the damage it would cause. That's the other thing. It's kind of a delicate area. So there's a whole lot of issues there. However, and Trump's offer to Europe is basically, hey, if you help us with this situation, you guys can control this. This can be yours to control. They're basically thumbing their nose at Trump in some ways and saying, no, we're not going to have anything to do with that. Okay, then we'll take it over and we'll be in charge of it. And not only will we have, we're going to be a superpower with regard to oil ourselves. You can buy oil from us or we can control the oil that gets to you as well. So we're going to be, that's just going to be one more thing we're going to control. And instead of you taking it, you can join us in this thing and you'll get the spoils of that, or you can. That's one way of looking at it, I guess. So that's kind of where we are, folks. That's kind of where we are with this whole situation. Now, I want to have one more opportunity here because we do have one more caller, and it's the all important caller that calls in all the time and has a whole lot of things to say. Well, let's see what she has to say this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to chime in on the earlier caller about the midterm election.
Oh, here we go again.
Historically speaking.
Yep, historically.
The midterms are normally thought of as a sweep for the party that is out of office.
Uh-huh,
that being said, the Dems would be that party for this fall. But this is not like any other cycle we've ever seen.
True,
so it is
true.
Yet to be seen what the outcome will be.
Uh-huh,
we are in very uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
That's my historical opinion.
Well, it's good. It's a good opinion. It's pretty much everything I said already. See, the way this AI thing works, which is going to be changed, the parameters that are set on this thing were kind of to keep it mostly in-house. It's kind of designed to be kind of I don't know what you want to call it. There's a little counter here that says how many times it's... that's interesting. I never saw that little counter there before. I didn't know that was even there. There are 77 things in the queue that I can pull up for potential articles and videos. Well, the way this AI thing works, it's mostly going off the transcript of everything I say. Now, if I play videos, it does hear that, and so these little responder people here, they'll respond to all that stuff. But like right now, because this Elena character is on the line, it's listening to everything I'm saying specifically right now, and it will respond to what I'm saying right now. So it's kind of I could have a short conversation or a long conversation. It's kind of a selective thing I can put on there. Get a short response, long response. But it's the kind of thing where it's only responding to mostly things that are in-house here. The design will eventually be only because it requires more API keys. It requires more issues once you understand what's going on behind the background. It's going to do more searching once you put in more parameters to do so. But you have to have it has to have permissions. It has to have all this stuff behind the scenes to be able to do it. And so it's kind of one of those. It's a test thing right now. It's kind of within its own biosphere. It's just living on my desktop computer right now. It's not something that's, it's a web-based thing, but it's living, all the files are living in some, kind of like it's my own server right here. So that's kind of how that works. The that's why it's not responding with. I mean, it will go out and look for information if I tell it to. But it's kind of a. It's not kind of what it's. Eventually, it's going to be designed so that it just kind of does it that on its own, and it actually looks up information and does all that stuff on its own, which is kind of fun. So yeah, it's just I think this is actually a workable program. Once all the refinements get into it, and it gets it just requires more of an investment financially as well as. Time-wise, and just all this, and security becomes an issue as well, because something like this can be hacked, and it would be a very bad thing if it did. I don't think anybody's going to hack something. This is more of a little, almost like a toy kind of thing. It's not something somebody's going to go after, because it's going to, there's no, like, you know, secrets involved in security issues with this thing, but it could happen. Anyway, that's kind of where it's at this point. So that's, let's see, let's just, for example, let's see how this thing responds to everything I just said. And, since I've been talking this whole time, it's going to be
fascinating. Yeah. It sounds like this AI responder you've developed is quite an interesting project.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
As a historian, I'm always intrigued by technological advancements and how they can be used to enhance our understanding of the past. While security concerns are certainly valid, I'm hopeful that with careful implementation and safeguards, this tool could become a valuable resource for researchers and the public alike.
Well, I think so, yeah.
I'd be curious to learn more about your plans for expanding its capabilities in the future.
Well, we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to, what you originally called about the midterms. So let's stay on topic here, Elena. We have, the midterms, again, we talked about that earlier as well. I really do think that everything hinges on how things pan out. Now, it looks as if things are going to pan out in the favor of the U.S. right now, worldwide. Of course, right now, Putin and Russia are kind of in their own, embroiled in their own little thing over there. They're already extended as far as they can be. A lot of their military has been devastated. Their reach, other than their, weapons of mass destruction that they have, is kind of limited right now. So they're kind of stuck in this situation where they've spent a lot of money, they spent a lot of time, they've just had some issues that have been going on. Now they've been selling oil. They are an oil producer, but they don't have enough. So they're just in a tough situation, and I think that's why we're able to just kind of march around the world and do all these things that we're doing. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know yet. What's yet to be seen. So let's have to see how this all pans out. So far, there has been we've been relatively unscathed. There's a tragic accident with the one airplane that crashed. We lost six people in that one. There's been some other. Bases that have been attacked by missiles, some other things like that. But it's not been this horrible conflict where it's nothing like Iraq was, nothing like Afghanistan was, and it's just one of those things. But So we'll just have to see how it all pans out. But the question is, what's gonna rise up in its place? That's really the question. And I hope it's an opportunity for the people of Iran to kind of restore what they had, 50 years ago. That's the question, is whether they're going to be able to do that or not. Radical Islam is not their friend. And hopefully they can get a lid on that and keep it. But it is a very vicious snake, and it's brutal. It is merciless. It is very self-righteousness in and of itself can be a very extremely deadly disease, and that's really what you have with a situation like that. So that's where we're at. Anyway, the that's all I got to say about it. The show has been we've already gone 44 minutes. I guess. We'll take us a quick little break, and we'll talk about what we're going to do tomorrow.
It's the news. to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me. According to me.
What's wrong with you people?
My chai has runneth out. I just threw that little "what's wrong with you people" in there just for the sake of it. Tomorrow being the last day of the week, we are still for the first part of April here. We're going to be talking a little bit about financial stuff tomorrow, economically a little bit, but mostly we're going to talk a little bit about retirement stuff tomorrow. Now, I'm not a financial counselor. But we're going to talk about a few things about retirement, savings, those kinds of things. Nick Invests is a channel I like to reference quite often, and he's had some good videos lately, so I'm going to kind of pull up some of the data that he has had. I might even actually put together, there's a thing called Notebook LM. It is a thing that is very closely associated to Google. Google might have purchased it actually now, but it works very well with Gemini. And what you can do, I'm going to throw some videos in there, and I might even have a little podcast, like a 4-minute, 3-minute thing put together to kind of give some kind of insights into the investment world. I think that might be what we do tomorrow, is play that kind of thing. It'll be created by Notebook LM. It's just, and it only creates things that are within the notebook. It doesn't go out on the internet other than what you put into it. It will only create something out of that. It's an AI model that only works, you know, in a contained environment. Works pretty well. I might play something like that tomorrow for a few minutes and see how that goes. But in the meantime, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. As we go on. In the meantime, if you so choose, if you would like, you can call or text the show. You can call, that's a little loud. We can call 574-651-7685, and you can text the show, call the show, leave a message. If you go to google.com/voice, you can actually go there and put that number in, 574-651-7685, and you can do that if you're outside the country, or if you don't have an international calling plan, or maybe you don't have a phone, you just got a computer. Maybe you just carry your computer around to send messages and do texting with. It's a possibility. You can also do that with an iPad or a tablet, or even with a phone. You can go to google.com/voice. In the meantime, thanks for listening, folks. I will talk to you tomorrow, and God bless. I hope I will have the privilege of having you listen to me tomorrow. And in the meantime, I will see ya.